This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. For those willing to risk the extreme weather, the summit of Mount Washington has much to offer, aside from the hiking and climbing. Visitors can catch a bite at the Tip Top House. You can tour the Mount Washington Observatory Museum, which is the state's most popular. And if the skies are clear, take in a spectacular view. There's one other possible perk that New England's highest peak is not known for. Producer Taylor Quimby reports.
In 1934, a weather observer stationed at the peak of Mount Washington recorded a then record wind gust of 231 miles per hour. As a point of reference, that's in the same neighborhood as an F5 tornado. And yet, Mount Washington isn't just home of the world's worst weather, as a sign at the summit famously boasts. It's also home to a concrete weather station where a team of researchers live year-round. And if you ask me, it's the perfect place to survive the zombie apocalypse.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because when I first climbed right up this ridge, that was actually my very first thought when I got inside these walls. I was like, you know what, this would make an excellent zombie holdout.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yeah, I actually thought that. Yeah, it's
first thought.
You know?
It's a perfect fortress up here, you know? You got the one road coming up, snipe the zombies if they're coming. Yeah. You get your supplies by the train here, protect it very easily, you know, sit on top. I don't know, like a video game.
What's your name?
Paul Molesky, Brother Paul Molesky.
There's nothing fun about imagining life, say, after a nuclear war, or fantasizing about how you'd survive a global pandemic. But there is something oddly intriguing about a zombie apocalypse.
You can talk about things like bottled water and stockpiling antibiotics and, oh, we need a radio. And if you know deep down in your heart that it's because of zombies, then you can still sleep at night.
It's fake, so it's safe. That's Max Brooks, by the way, author of World War Z and The Zombie Survival Guide. Now, I don't own a gas mask or keep a stockpile of canned tuna in my basement. In other words, I'm no prepper. But I really do enjoy a good zombie escape plan. Because you don't have to be an Olympic athlete or a trained Navy SEAL to survive a zombie apocalypse. Anybody with a good head on their shoulders has a fighting chance. It's all about good planning and making do with limited resources. But after visiting Mount Washington for the first time last September, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. I pictured striking out after the first zombies hit southern New Hampshire, guiding my family from our home in Concord towards my mom's place in North Conway. I'd be wearing somebody's discarded plaid jacket, sporting a rugged post-apocalyptic beard, and wielding a modified shovel as a combination walking stick and zombie basher. I pictured us arriving at the top, cold and weary, but safe. The closest thing to a happily ever after, given the circumstances, surviving indefinitely in our little castle. The Mount Washington Observatory. But how realistic is this fantasy? Aside from the living dead part, I mean, the general idea being that the mountain and the extreme weather would act as a natural defense against the zombies, it's everything else I wonder about, the survival part. So before I went back up the mountain to do an inventory, I called Max Brooks and asked him what to look for in a good zombie fort.
A source of water, that's the most important. If you don't have a source of water, you're dead in 3 days. Does it have the ability to dispose of your excrement? Because if you let that stuff pile up, you'll be just dead from disease. Is it far enough away from any thoroughfares? Because what you don't want is people deserting their cars on the freeway and blundering into your fort, or seeing it from the air and saying, oh, remember that observatory that we flew over on the mountaintop? Yeah, once we crash the plane in the lake, let's double back and find that.
Okay, let's start with water. Ryan Knapp, night meteorologist at the Mount Washington Observatory.
Yep, we have a well that goes several hundred feet down, about 600 to 800, I've heard from others. Fresh water gets pulled up from the Lake of the Clouds aquifer.
Water? Check. Now, I know what you're thinking. What if the station loses power? Won't the pump stop working? Back before a main line was installed, the station used to run on kerosene generators, and they're still there as a backup. Knapp says the enormous tanks that sit on a ridge just below the observatory still hold enough fuel to power the station for up to a year. Okay, next question. Where does the waste go? Bill Grenfell, director of museum operations.
Well, the summit is self-contained.
All the waste, it flows downhill into a treatment plant that uses biological means to break down everything and filter it.
Waste? Check. Next question? Sleeping arrangements. A floor down from the research portion of the building are the living quarters, a comfortable set of rooms with a distinct college dorm feel, except for the bedrooms.
It's triple bunk beds, side by side, and I mean, they're pretty comfy.
That's Caitlin O'Brien, an education specialist at the Observatory, or the OBS, as they call it. The OBS has 17 beds in total, plus a couple of couches. So plenty of room for me, my son, and my wife, but not my extended family. Next up, food.
That one on the left there has all of our frozen fruits and vegetables and things like that.
The pantry is stocked with giant cans of beans, huge slabs of frozen meat, jumbo boxes of cereal, you name it. Bulk food gets delivered every 2 months, and Caitlin guesses the staff could probably survive for about 3 once the delivery stopped coming. Scott Henley, the Observatory's executive director.
We have the communications infrastructure, we have the facility, we have the food. We don't have much in the way of artillery, except for some shovels.
Crowbars.
Crowbars, yeah, we do have plenty of crowbars.
Those are actually good zombie weapons.
Oh, see? We're more prepared than we thought.
All in all, it's as comfortable a home as anybody could hope for at 6,228 feet above sea level. There's just one really big problem. Max Brooks.
Well, I think simply by doing this story, you've invalidated it. Yeah, yeah, because the most important aspect of a zombie fortress is anonymity. See, the biggest problem in a zombie outbreak is not going to be zombies. It's going to be refugees, because zombies are not a tenth as dangerous as a desperate Homo sapien.
Right.
And so you're going to be dealing with a lot of hungry, sick, scared, very desperate people who have heard this report and now know exactly how attractive the Mount Washington Observatory is.
The observatory is just too conspicuous. I mean, how many bumper stickers have you seen that say, "This car climbed Mount Washington"? More people visit the Observatory Museum than they do any other museum in New Hampshire, and it's only open 5 months out of the year. Not even the staff is totally convinced of the zombie plan. Here's Serena Bride, director of summit operations at the OBS.
If it were just me, I'd say yeah, but the more people I have with me, or the larger the group, or more people that I have to care for or support, the more that I'm going to question if it's the right move or not, just because it's such a difficult and treacherous environment.
When Max Brooks wrote World War Z, he accomplished a very, very improbable task. He managed to write a serious, literary zombie novel, one that transcends the silliness of the genre. And as I talked to people for this story, I learned to appreciate just how difficult that really is. Because to take something like zombies seriously, you have to become a legitimate authority on a make-believe subject. You have to be able to answer questions like these.
Well, I was just wondering how their coordination is with coming up over the rocks. I mean, especially if it's like a windy day, for example, how they'd be doing.
Are zombies susceptible to hypothermia?
That's a good question. What do you think?
I don't know. I would hope so.
Yeah. Do zombies have four-wheel drive? Because then that would make a difference.
Good, yeah.
As I fielded each one of these questions with a straight face and not a hint of irony, I started to wonder about the sanity of this project. I caught myself in the shower, daydreaming about the logistics of burying supplies on the Appalachian Trail. At work, I silently evaluated the worth of my colleagues. And at some point, I had to ask myself, am I becoming a prepper? Max Brooks.
I actually think a little bit of prepping is a very healthy thing. In fact, the federal government supports that. You know, organizations like FEMA and the CDC, they want you to prep. They want you to be ready for at least a couple weeks, because God forbid there is a mega disaster. There simply isn't enough federal and state resources to help everybody on day one. But I think where it gets dangerous is this notion of people who are excited about society as a whole collapsing. You know, the people that you see on doomsday preppers, those are the carnival freaks. They want society to implode. And those people I would encourage to get a one-way ticket to Somalia and go live the dream.
It's not that I want society to implode, as Max puts it. But when survival is reduced to having a job and paying rent, going to the grocery store, when the stakes are in some way just as high, but the adrenaline is utterly low, the zombie apocalypse can sound downright thrilling. It has nothing to do with the living dead, really. It has everything to do with living life.
Let me ask you an odd question.
Yeah.
If there were like a zombie apocalypse, what do you think about hiding out on the top of Mount Washington?
Hell, I'd be there in a heartbeat, hole into some cave, right? Send them in, we'll put the boulders to them.
So you think it'd be a good spot?
Oh yeah, I think you could hide out, but you probably wouldn't want that getting out. Next thing you know, the militia will be up here wanting to hide out in the mountains, right?
I think that's the worst part. Exactly. If we came up with a good idea.
As for whether Mount Washington would be a good place to ride out the zombie apocalypse, I think it's pretty clear that the real answer is no. Because as soon as we all agree it's a good idea, it becomes a really, really bad one. My hope is that in doing this investigation, I'll have convinced everybody to rule it out, and then at least the staffers who are already up there might have a passing chance at making it work should the zombie apocalypse go down. As for me, I'm going to try and spend less time thinking about zombies and more time prepping for the occasional power outage or ice storm. Refresh my stock of candles and flashlights, pick up some batteries, maybe buy a few gallons of bottled water. Because how sad would it be to be ready for zombies, but get caught unprepared for another New England winter? For Word of Mouth, I'm Taylor Quimby.
Well, Taylor may have blown Mount Washington's cover, but there are plenty of places in New Hampshire where you could hunker down for a zombie apocalypse. Where in the state would you head if the zombies were on the march? Remember, you'd have to have a fresh water supply, and it would have to be zombie-proof. Let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.